The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seed, broken into bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad at a bad day, bad law, bad dude, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Farrell Palatial, right across the river through the woods from where Granny loves when I get her a fresh satchel of the Kush Mints. And I ain't talking about breath mints in New York City, the Big Apple. People dressed in plastic bags, they're ready to travel. I got no fashion jacket, I'm just too bad. I'm a finna come around flat, flat to party up. Rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown. What a mess, this town's a tatter. My brain splattered all over Manhattan, should be sure. I got I think I'm out of cars, I'm from Keith. Should do bad. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell, along with your boy Mafia tonight on Natty Night. Waxing up the mahogany. 9-6 tied on top of the favored Georgia Bulldogs. What do you smell with the, whatever, 2.5, 3, whatever you got it at, with Georgia favored Mafia going into this game where they're down 3 at the half? I mean, they could still win the game. They could still cover, but they're down 3 and very much alive. Their kicker made it just inside the right upright, and both kickers have done their job tonight. You got 5 field goals.
Yeah, I mean, this is 2 teams that know each other well, 2 coaches that know each other well, have seen each other, you know, year in, year out. And, you know, even in the title game, obviously we've seen this matchup before, so they just know what the other likes to do, and they're, you know, doing a great job of shutting them down so far. It's going to be a big telling here of who makes the adjustments. And, you know, I think we've known throughout his career and what we've seen so far, especially in, you know, this tenure at Alabama, is that Nick Saban's great at making adjustments, so it's going to be big onus on Kirby Smart and what he can do to react once they come out of halftime, because we know Nick can do the damn thing, but we haven't seen Kirby get to the promised land yet.
Well, I knew that you were really excited to watch, Katy Perry's world premiere of her new video with some guy that she apparently is friends with and that's sexy enough to do a video with her. I don't know him that well. In fact, I don't know him at all or his name, but they just introduced him and I still don't know it. But anyway, the video's on now, and I know that it's Aliso, and I think that's your call to arms, Mafia. You wanted to watch this video all day.
Yeah, really, the game mattered nothing to me. I mean, the second half, maybe I'll get into more, but all the waiting for this all day hasn't been about the four-hour pregame. It wasn't about the game itself. It was like, you know, when are we getting this video? That's why I put my daughter to bed early. I said, listen, you got to go to sleep. I got to go check Katy Perry out here.
Right, and she just fondled herself on, you know, ABC owned ESPN during halftime. You had the wardrobe malfunction back in the day, and now another fondling. First up top, second one at home plate. I'm now seeing this is selling sex at the highest level at halftime of the Natty. And now it's the third one with a roll of the finger down between the mountaintops. It's all evolving right now and rapidly. Very dangerous stuff from Katy Perry. By the way, she's doing a residency in Las Vegas now. So then again, who isn't? Alrighty then. Hey, how about we welcome our radio affiliates to Pharrell on the Bench on a Monday night. Sirius XM channel 159 is where the big boys play. And of course, the mightier 1090 ESPN radio in San Diego. Near to you wanna do ya wanna. And you got Sports Map in H-Town. What up, H-Town? That's Houston to you, mister. Alrighty. And then you got Sports Byline USA. D-Pack holding it down in the city by the bay in the bay. Homer Clay. It was great to see him back playing basketball after, you know, 2 years away, knee, Achilles. And I just remember, you know, when you get injured as a player, right, and you're out for an extended period of time, it sucks. And I've had those injuries. I broke my hand in five places, and then when I went to PT after I got the cast off, finally it broke again. So I was out for, like, a really long stretch, like 9 months. I was out for 9 months with rotator and labrum surgery. And I just know that, you know, when you don't get a play and you just don't matter and you're just not – in the mix, it's like, you know, torture. And like my daughter's going through some stuff right now with her knees. And she's a really good player, as you've heard me talk about before. I'm not even kidding. She drops 25 a game. And she's like the entire team. And everyone knows it. But she's having like some, I like to call it debris. Others like to call it wear and tear. Under a kneecap, and it's abnormal for a kid that's 14. Usually girls, an orthopedic surgeon will tell you, girls tend to have the knee problems in high school on, and it's the number one cause of it is soccer, believe it or not. I'll be right back.
May or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever gotten rabies from trying to get a fresh rabbit's foot, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench with Scott Pharrell.
Anyway, Pharrell on the Bench, Mavi's with me. So, you know, the surgeon's telling her that it's not necessary that she has surgery, but that in a few years when she's in high school, she's already in eighth. So nine through 12, he thinks at some point in there, maybe junior, senior year, he's going to have to clean it up, you know, and just go in there and clean it up. It's like going into a canyon, let's say hypothetically, and cleaning out gold, you know what I mean? But this isn't gold. This is pain. It's pain. It's wear and tear pain under the kneecap. So I've had my kneecap broken, believe it or not, the tibia plateau. It's in that region, and it's to the point where she plays, and she deals with it, and it's agonizing. And then when the game's over, she's like she's like a cripple. I mean, like when I had double plantar fascia in both feet, So both feet had plantar fasciitis really bad. I mean, like, Mavia knows, no joke. I literally walked like I was 102 from the gym to the car to get, or even from the car to work when we were at CBS. And like, we'd park in front of the building. I could barely make it from the front of the building into the building. And when, once I got in my studio, I had to just sit there all night. And I'd go to the bathroom like once because I couldn't walk without just terror, pain. And it was after games that it seized up. I could play in the game and run like a duck, drop 12, 15, 20 points, whatever, get rebounds, block shots, Mavi and I cleaning up. But the bottom line is after the game, I couldn't walk. It just seized up on me. Same thing's happening to her. She's done. She poured 25 in the other day and then came home. You would have thought she was 100. I mean, she just was done. She couldn't walk. She can't go up and down stairs. It's crazy. So we finally took her to this great surgeon. Mafia knows who he is. And he's like dealing with it now permanently moving forward. He's like her knee doctor. And it is what it is. She got it in both knees. One's worse than the other, but they said they don't see it in 14-year-olds. I think it sucks. All I'm telling you is Klay Thompson, what he went through every day for 2 years, not to that extent, certainly. I'm not ever going to compare myself to someone like that, but in terms of being out and just being invisible and not having anything you could do about it is just a lonely, miserable place to be. And I think it tortures some, and others just deal with it. I think Klay certainly dealt with it. I remember, Mavi remembers, I used to go shoot with my one hand all day. I'd sit there for hours shooting, and that was all I had. I could shoot with one hand, and I had this cast on my hand forever. I had it once, then it re-broke, had to wear it again, and my hand was never the same, by the way. So when I finally got it done and over with and I started playing again, I was worried about it, la, la, la. But nothing ever really happened to it other than it was not, frankly, it was not done well. So when the guy pinned my hand back together with screws and pins, my hand now, my pinky, it is like the one commercial. Your wayward pinky. So I have a wayward pinky. It cranks out to the left on my left hand. My other fingers are normal. The one, the fourth and fifth where it broke, it just sheds the one pinky out to the left. And it's like, you can look at it and go, wow, what's wrong with your hand? I broke it in 10 places, 5 places both times. At least I did the math. So it's never been the same. It doesn't close. My fist doesn't close right, and I'm left-handed, so it sucked. The whole thing sucked, and it was never the same. And it's weird, you know, obviously I live in New York City, so when it's snowing and cold and blizzards and miserable here, which is often in the winter, my hand's like arthritic. So I not only have a mangled hand, but it's like got arthritis in it. Like it's tough to, you know, use in the cold months. But, you know, I feel bad for her. I felt bad for Klay Thompson. 2 years of not playing. Everybody else, you know, they're talking about, you know, Jordan Poole and Wiseman, all these other guys constantly talking about. Wiseman got injured, though. Same thing for him. But to be out for 2 years, that's got to drive you nuts. Like to train for a year with the ACL and then to go out and blow out your Achilles. I mean, you might want to jump off a roof. It's got to make you feel terrible. So anyway, it was great to see him play last night. He had, you know, 17 and whatever. And that's a bad night for him, but a good night for him now after not playing for 2 years. Had a dunk, had the first bucket of the game. They were standing O's. They cheered him. It was all very emotional. And it's good to see him back. We'll see. You know, the problem I have with, you know, the sports media, even, you know, TV, radio, gambling networks, ours, yours, theirs, everyone, is that they crown champions, literally a quarter of the way through the season. So they've already crowned the Warriors champions. They're going to win it all, and it's a done deal. And there's no team that has a remote possibility, not even a remote one, of beating them. And they're just, it's a done deal. Automatic, game over, season over, champs here. Take the O'Brien, go have a Caribbean vacation, get laid. I just do not buy that. I am not one to, you know, all these shows that they just crown them. They're already champs. It's over. It's done. I mean, they're not even going to play any series. They won't be challenged. They're going to kill everybody. They're going to destroy everybody. They're unbeatable. It's a done deal. And now that they got Clay back, it's a double Dutch bus. It's doubly a done deal, dude. So I say bunk to all that. You got to play. You got to execute. You have no idea who's going to get injured. You know, at the beginning of the playoffs, before the playoffs, during the playoffs, everything comes into play when it's playoff time, the second season, whatever you want to call it. That's what we call it in hockey. But in the NBA, I love the NBA as much as anything. And I know it's different. It's ratcheted up. The play's ratcheted up. The intensity, the physical nature of it is ratcheted up. Everything about it. The refs have to get ratcheted up because they're going to make calls, and it's, you know, money time. Playoffs are money time. That's when you make your money. You produce at the highest level in the postseason, and you're going to get paid one way or the other. Whether you get traded, you leave, be a free agency, whatever it is. If you're a money maker, it's because you produced when it mattered. Now, none of these games right now matter except for seasoning, positioning. In other words, it's a long season, 82 games, and they've already crowned them champs. Meanwhile, they got, you know, I mean, Mafia, they must have 50 games left at least.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, this is the same thing that they did before. This isn't the first time they've done it, especially for this team. I mean, they had a couple years off because of, you know, the injuries to Clay and Durant leaving, but they've been crying, you know, the Warriors two early champs for, you know, the better part of the last, what, 8-9 years?
Well, when they lost, when they lost him and they lost KD, I think their run was over. But I think, you know, the Lakers got crowned when they won it in Orlando, and then they came out of that and got crowned again to repeat, and they were awful last year. And then this year it's been the Warriors. Meanwhile, you know, I've argued for the Suns. I think the Suns can beat the Warriors, and I think the Suns can beat anybody. And I think they lost to Giannis. I think if Giannis wasn't playing, which he hasn't been playing every game this year, he's missed a bunch, then I think that they could beat him. But Giannis beat the Suns. It's Pharrell on a bench.
May or may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Test yourself. If you've ever been hospitalized after driving off the road while wishing on a shooting star, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
They got their ass beat. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
For on the bench, our buddy Mark Hockman with Hockman and Crowder down in Miami on 560 and 790. He's on two stations because they're so good. They couldn't have like people, beating each other. So they just said, you know, why don't we join them? If you can't beat them, join them. And they're like, we'll share them. And then so what they did, the whole thing, they share wives, families, they swap like those TV shows. And they literally took over South Florida. It's the greatest concept ever. And we like getting Hawk on the bench and on Coast to Coast on the TV side whenever we get a chance or anything's happening down in South LA. How you doing, Mark? Happy New Year, buddy.
Thank you, Scott. Happy New Year to you.
Hey, so I got to ask you, what's the reaction like today to Flores getting fired. And, you know, I've heard it's not about coaching and anything else. This is pretty much like a personality thing that he couldn't play with others.
I was blown away when I saw the news this morning, but from everything that I've heard and everyone that I've talked to, and it's been nonstop today, that's exactly what it is, that he was disliked at the facility, that Chris Greer, the general manager, and Brian Flores were unable to get along. And, you know, you heard Stephen Ross, the owner, have his comments today, and he kept using the word collaborative and lack of collaboration. So I don't think it was anything more than Chris Greer, the general manager, saying to Stephen Ross, it's me or him. And Stephen Ross chose Chris Greer. And I think, you know, we talked with a number of reporters today on the radio show, and they said, look, you know, Stephen Ross has a 20-year relationship with Chris Greer. He's got he knows Brian Flores for 3 years. Chris Greer has his ear, and he trusts Chris Greer. And Stephen Ross believes that the personnel, the roster, is better than the final record. And, you know, why would I keep someone around that can't seem, as you said, to get along well with others? So as surprised as I was and as surprised as Dolphins fans were, the more that I talked with Dolphins beat reporters and even national reporters, they didn't seem as surprised as I was. I guess it was a little bit of an open secret that Brian Flores was not getting along with anyone at the organization.
Wow, that's just crazy. You know, I got to tell you, though, my buddy is really good friends with Stephen Ross, right? And he's lifelong friends. And they, believe it or not, he is human and has friends, because I think people just think he's this billionaire and that he's, you know, on the move always, jet setting and everything else. Well, the reality is that what I've learned of him is that he's, from my friend, is that he's, you know, I said this today on TV, he's the most, I think, in terms of, you know, real estate in New York City, in terms of, you know, skyscrapers and condos worth billions, this guy owns more than anybody else. He owns more real estate holdings in Manhattan than anyone. And I mean, he literally owns New York City. And that's what I was told. And that's from a guy, even that, beyond my friend who's friends with him, this other guy that we know, Mavi knows who he is. He owns the Meadowlands. This guy, this other guy, owns the other half. Like, it's Ross and him that own most of the, you know, not commercial, but the residential skyscrapers in Manhattan. And these people are, the wealth is beyond comprehension, right? So when you said that he's known him for 20 years and he's known this guy for 3 years, I have to tell you, Mark, that I follow the same reasoning. And tell me if you do as well. A, listen, I love my family till the day I die. I love them. They're all incredible. I care about everyone deeply. But I have been a, you know, Steeler and Penguin and Pirate fan for like 56 years. And I'm like, I got to tell you, my family is super unbelievably important to me, but they fall way below my love affair with the Steelers and Penguins. And the Pirates, really, I love the Pirates, but I mean, you know, I've been to a few playoff games and nothing went well. In 71 and 79, I just wanted ice cream and I wanted some chocolate or something to go with it. All I know is that, you know, the Steelers 6 Super Bowls and the Penguins 5 Stanley Cups matter more to me than anybody. Than anybody. Do you follow that reasoning? Because I think what Ross did was the right move.
Well, I would say this. Obviously, when you own anything, you have the right to run it the way that you want to run it. I don't ever begrudge someone for saying, well, wait a second, I put $1 billion of my own money into this business, and this business is important to me, and I'm not going to have someone around me on a regular basis who's supposed to buy into my idea of the way things are supposed to be run, who doesn't buy in, who's the outlier in everything that I've created. So I don't begrudge anybody for running their business and hiring and firing as they please. That's the the luxury of owning anything. Did he make the right decision, though, as, you know, through the prism of a football fan? I don't know. I really don't know because, listen, Chris Greer, the general manager, did a great job in this year's draft. I don't think there's any question about it, right? Jalen Phillips and Jalen Waddle and Javon Holland.
Right.
But they've also missed on a lot as well, you know. So, could I sit through another year of watching Brian Flores run an offense that was unwatchable with a young quarterback that, man, you know, you're watching Alabama tonight, you go back and you look at the highlights of Tua when he was at Alabama, and where's that guy with the Dolphins? And you wonder if it was 2 years of Brian Flores not allowing him to flourish. So, you know, I don't know if I would say that he made the right decision. I don't know. I know that I was shocked, and I know if you gave me the choice when the season ended, would I rather have Chris Greer continue on as the general manager of the Dolphins, or would I rather have Brian Flores as the head coach? I would choose Brian Flores. But I don't know the interpersonal dealings, so it's easy for me to say that from the outside.
Well, I still believe that when it comes to decisions of this magnitude, you lean toward loyalty. I mean, you've been with a guy 20 years, you've been with a guy 3 years. You're like, all right, I'm gonna stick with, you know, the guy that brought me here, that I'm doing this with for that long, someone that I've believed in for that long. Like, so what I know of him, he owns these holdings, right? And that he has these people that run them for him. And he literally has like a powerful tree, like a family tree of executives that run his companies that own these holdings. And they all have very powerful jobs and they do very well in life. And they're, you know, excruciatingly busy. And I mean, these people are on a move like you have no idea. You wonder when he has time to be anywhere around the Dolphins or Michigan or any of his other fun stuff. Like, the Dolphins are a toy to him. This guy's, you know, big time businessman and real estate and things. He doesn't have time to worry about all this other stuff. But I can guarantee you, the people that work for him, what I've been told is they all have been with him for a long time. And the ones that haven't,
looks like we lost Scott there, Mark. So I think he was saying basically that everyone with Ross is, you know, long-term guys, people that he's been around with forever. And, you know, short-term guy like Flores, they have the power, all the people that are in his ear that's been there. And Flores, obviously, because of, you know, the shorter time with him, didn't have the same power as them, the same juice.
Well, I would say this, and I totally agree. You know, one of the criticisms of Stephen Ross at the beginning of his tenure with the Dolphins was that he was too loyal. That his loyalty was actually costing the franchise because he would keep people around too long. And that's not common for sports owners, right? It's common maybe in the world of business. And I think it's laudable the way Stephen Ross, and I've heard the same stories, I think it's laudable the way Stephen Ross treats his longtime employees at the real estate group. But for a sports franchise, you know, it's a different animal. And as Scotty said, you know, it's a toy for him. And I totally get it. But he also said, I don't know when he has time for the team, and I don't know when he has time for University of Michigan. That's one of the criticisms of him. I've always thought Stephen Ross is one of the best owners in professional sports because he is not afraid to spend money. He's not afraid to do whatever it takes to put together a winner. But there is this knock that's becoming more prevalent, which is he's not around enough. We had a beat writer on the show with us today and said, look, he's 1,200 miles away every day because he lives and works in New York. He's in Miami and South Florida every now and then. But one of the knocks on Stephen Ross that's becoming a little bit louder is, hey, is he invested enough in the franchise? And so that's something to keep an eye on as well. There's a growing discontent.
Yeah, it's always tough to run something, especially if you're not the football guy, you know, the football genius like some of these owners that are involved forever, you know, to run from that far away. But we'll see who he brings in, if there's someone that's fitting more of the pieces. Mark, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate you stepping out of the national championship game to talk to us, and we'll see what's next in Miami. Thanks so much.
When it comes to getting trusted sports gaming strategies and info, you can ask your dumb friend Kevin.
Duh!
Or you can just listen to us. We recommend
us.
And we won't ask to borrow your car either.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Farrell on the Bench with Scott Farrell.
And we're back here on Farrell on the Bench here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Scotty still having some troubles here. We're seeing if we get him back in a minute. But, you know, we're watching this national championship game here, and still not much scoring at all. You just had Alabama march down, had one of the best drives we've seen for the game, and then end up with no points. This has been a lot of just war of attrition. You know, for me, it seems like we've gotten a lot of conservative play calling. It looks like we got a blocked field goal. That's why we have no more points. Alabama marched down, had 4th-and-11, tried to kick it. Get the big mid up there, and they block it, Georgia does. So they stay within a field goal, and that could change things in a lot of ways here. Now that gives you some momentum. It gives you a little bit of, you know, some decent field position here for Georgia. And, you know, that's going to change the betting line. Because just before that, I was looking at it in the break, and the live line on FanDuel was 3.5. Of course, with the game sitting at 3, that hook was the big difference there, and that seemed like it's something that could be the difference in this game. You know, that's something that is going to, you know, make you or dissuade you from making that bet, because no one has gotten that extra push. No one has gotten that big lead. So for some reason, no one can really space this out. And it seems like as the game has gone on and on, you know, these offensive coordinators have gotten less and less willing to take that risk. You know, that they have had their issues with, you know, opening up the playbook. You know, you're going to take a little short pass, you can conservative plays, because both these quarterbacks have shown that they're not really that reliable against these awesome defenses so far. You know, in a game that we saw, a month and a half ago, where Alabama was lighting things up, Bryce Young, that was the game that really cinched the Heisman for him. In the SEC title game of him lighting up Georgia's defense, throwing it all over the field, that's not happening right now. And it doesn't seem like they're going to let him do that, because you know, he's thrown a couple decent passes, but then you saw that long one in the last possession here just before that when they're deep in their own territory, and he kind of airs it out, 15, 20-yard pass to no one but the Georgia defender. It was good 5 to 7 yards over his receiver's head, who was covered by another Georgia defensive back. The safety comes underneath it, and it's an easy pick for him, probably one of the easiest of his career. So it just seems like, you know, that was the one chance they'll take, and then now back to the run, back to short passes. They really don't want to take a lot of risks, and maybe that's the smartest play, because one mistake you make is the one that's going to cost you. That's the one that's going to change the game, because it is such a tight game and it's so tightly contested here. But like I said, it was 3.5. Now it's down to 2.5. Ever since that missed field goal, it has now dropped down to 2.5. So less than what we have now, Alabama laying that 2.5. So basically, the book's telling you, yeah, we're not really sure Georgia's going to score again, or at least that they're not going to, you know, keep that tie if they do get it or get the lead, that Alabama's just going to hold on to this, because this clock is winding down. We're getting deep into the second half, almost through the third quarter now, and with, you know, just over one quarter left to play in the national championship, I think the book is just kind of throwing their hands up like, hey, we thought there's going to be a ton of points. Obviously, that's not happening, because we had 52, 53, you know, depending on the place you got it, we had all those points on the board. We're getting nowhere near that, sitting at 15 here through almost three quarters. So you know what? This is how it's going to be. This is how it's been most of the game. And this is how it's going to be the rest of the game, is basically what I feel like they're telling you here. You know, you had 3 from Alabama in the first quarter, 6 from each in the second quarter. It's just been a field goal contest, and that's where this spread is going to sit now. We said it was 2.5. It's locked up now on FanDuel. We'll see if it continues to, you know, stay there. Obviously, it's going to shift by how things go. 20-yard line is where Georgia will start in their own 20. Get a nice yard. Ooh, a big run here on first down. Can he break it all the way? He's got defenders chasing him. He's got a couple steps, and they finally catch him around their own 15. So just when we're talking about how we're not going to get touchdowns, how this is going to be a tight game, and they're going to keep doing field goals, Georgia makes that one big play we're waiting for to possibly break it open. Now we'll see how they continue here. Can Stetson Bennett, you know, get this going? Can he make, you know, huge dividends here? Can he get them in the end zone? Or is this somewhere where they're going to have some issues and, again, just settle for a field goal and go for the tie? We will see here. Huge run there for Georgia, though, to get things going here just before the fourth quarter. We will see what they can make from here. First and 10, like we said, at the, it's down to 13 they haven't marked that. Bennett's going to try to run it, gets a couple yards, but then they shut him down. And we'll continue to watch this, see if Georgia can change this. Because let's not forget, Georgia was the favorite coming in. Surprising to, you know, to me. I don't know about everybody. I thought a lot of people. I mean, the way that Alabama just shellacked them in the SEC title game, I'm surprised that, you know, they would not give Alabama that respect, because they just showed what they could do. You know, how can you then make them the underdog? And they've come here and they've, you know, controlled as much as they can. And, you know, they have gone and yes. So I think we have Scotty back finally. Scotty, we're talking about this game. The live line is very interesting now. What just was 2.5 before Georgia got that huge run. We'll see what they opened up. But Scotty, you know, that might be the one play we've been looking for to finally open this up and make it a lot more interesting.
Yeah, well, kid from Georgia racing down the sideline with the ball, or? Yeah, obviously, I just saw that. Now they're inside the 3, a face mask, first and goal. They're going to probably stuff it in and take the lead in this game. And like I said before, they were down 3, but they could still easily take the lead and cover the 3, you know, if they score. So here they are with the potential to score. And I got to tell you, I thought, you know, for the most part, for my money in this game, I thought Bryce Young was bad. I thought the sack he allowed when they were at the 5-yard line and he got sacked back at the 20 thinking he could outrace the guy was a dumb play. And I thought his pick was dumb. And then I thought Dumb and Dumber was watching him smile afterwards, like he can't even fathom that he threw an interception because he's so great. He had that look on his face like, I can't even believe I just did that. But it's not funny. And I don't think he's played particularly well. And now White has scored, and it's Georgia on top in this natty with 1:20 left in the 3rd. So the pressure will be on Young to come through, you know, with whatever's left here. And then the 4th quarter, money time. I will tell you that our good friend Lucy, she got up and literally couldn't take it seeing Alabama give up the lead in the natty. And she went to the bar to drink and left us high and dry, Mafia, at the altar.
She did, much like the Alabama kicker left them high and dry, but getting himself blocked just before that. I mean, Alabama was marching down, had one of the best drives we've seen in this game. They get, you know, deep into Georgia territory. And then, of course, as you said, Young not looking good in this game, kind of just misses his receiver. So they got to go for the field goal. And then Georgia, just when you think, you know, they're going to put up extra points, they're going to expend this lead, they're going to be, you know, have a little breathing room for the first time. They get that big mid up there to block it, and now this has completely changed the momentum of this game. I can't believe it.
So I was talking to Mark Hockman of Miami Lore, and we were talking about Stephen Ross. And I don't know at what point where I got cut off, but here's the deal. What I was trying to say is that I believe – with great certainty that in, you know, massive business deals and, you know, companies where you're talking about lots of, you know, employees and, you know, payroll and taxes and everything else and insurance and this and that for employees, that they actually do prescribe to loyalty in their dealings. In other words, for the most part, like if you do a deal with a company, they're going to want to make sure that if you leave and it doesn't work out, that you don't go right to their competitor and, you know, find a way to screw them. They don't want you working for their competitors, and they can't keep you from working from their competitors, but they can delay your working for competitors. So in business, in big business, it's forced loyalty. You're gonna sign this, or you're not working here. And then here's the deal: Stephen Ross, I believe, chose loyalty with Greer over a 3-year relationship that was, you know, fledging with Flores. If it's true that he was, you know, difficult to deal with within the organization, like no one liked him at the job. In other words, at the Dolphins headquarters and in their offices and in their football operation. And there's a lot of people, like a seed that has been planted of dislike in someone, and then it grows into a giant full-on plant. You're you're going to have a problem on your hands. And so they cut it off the head before it grew any further. It sounds to me like the guy didn't get along with him, didn't get rid of him. And the guy chose loyalty over fledging. It's that simple. And it's the same concept I've always said on the show of people say, did he just say that he loves the Penguins more than his wife and children? And I always say, you know, let's just be honest. I've known her for 21 years. I've known Gunner 17 and Chop 14. And, you know, the Penguins my whole life. I'm 56. Since I can remember, I'd say for 50 plus years. So when I was 6 or 7 years old, I started going to those games. And that's it. And all I know is Steelers, same thing. I love the Steelers more than oxygen, right? And I know that yesterday when they made the playoffs, I yelled, Pharrell, yeah, real loud in my studio. I was down in the studio in the Pharrell Palladio, and I was watching. I was going to a wedding. I was in between the service and the reception. I went home to pick up my family, and I saw the end of the game, the overtime. And I just went, I dropped the biggest Pharrell, yeah, you've ever heard. Like, I was so lit when I yelled, Pharrell, yeah. And my family knew what time it was. And, you know, Gunner's a huge fan. The women, 34C and Chop, they like him, but only in passing. Like, they're like, yeah, whatever, the Steelers are my team. That's cool. Leave me alone. They don't really get into it. I don't see them watching the games. They don't go to the games. I go to the games. Gunner goes to the games. I fly to Pittsburgh. I spend thousands every time I go. Hotels, Ubers, food, fancy restaurants. Three meals a day. You know, because when I'm here in New York City, I don't eat three meals a day. When I'm on the road in a hotel living and going to NFL games for, you know, a Saturday, Sunday or a Friday, Saturday, Sunday or a Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I'm spending lots of money. And then that's loyalty. That's I love them really ahead of you. And like I go to all of them, like my wife's like, well, we have had this event this weekend with the, you know, with the Joneses. And we have to go to the Joneses dinner party. And I'm like, well, listen, you go ahead and do that and then tell them I picked the Steelers over them and I'll do it again. And I feel horrible, but it is what it is. You lose. I always tell them, everything's great. I love you. I love hanging out with you. Food's great. Party's great. Restaurant's great. I love it. You lose. I really wanted to go. You lose. Mafia knows. I was going to go out with the Joneses the other night because they're such fun. You lose. That's what happened. I tell her, I'm going to the Steelers. You lose. She's like, all you do is spend tons of money when you're in business. She said to me, one time I came back, she said, I know this bill is for escorts. And I thought to myself, you know, that's a great idea. Yeah. I could get escorts to go to dinner and then do me after dinner in my hotel suite. That's a great idea. Let me write that down in my notes on my phone. I never use that. I might as well get escorts, have them do me after dinner in my suite. That's the problem with people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins, the rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
So anyway, Alabama third and goal from like the three, and that's going to not work either. Throws it in the end zone. I think he has been so average tonight. I mean, and I'm willing to say below average. I just don't like what I'm seeing from this guy tonight. It's not his night. Like, the mistakes are glaring. Look at the guy. Wide open in the end zone, but he threw that ball 7 yards wide of him. He didn't have enough time. I don't make all the excuses in the world, you know, Herbie, for him. Just keep making excuses for him. The guy won the Heisman Trophy, and tonight he looks like they should have maybe thought about it a little longer. 13-12, Bama's down one with 13 minutes to go. in the game. A huge stop for Georgia. I don't think they stopped him. I think Bryce Young just couldn't make a play. And I don't think you can run 4 yards on Georgia inside the 5-yard line, because at that point they are tightening the belts down there, down low. And listen, I got to tell you, I hope Lucy gets hammered tonight and loses her car keys. I really do, because she let me down tonight, Mafia. She let me down. See the loyalty? There's no loyalty. It's just been, 3 years of, and apparently she just doesn't believe in us. So that she would just lay it all down, walk out of the room and say, screw you, good luck. That's exactly what happened. So she could go get drunk and watch the Natty, the end of the Natty. Whereas you could have just stayed where you were and watched the game and listened to Pharrell on a bench. You had it all going for you, and then you screwed it all up. You lose.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.